Welcome everybody to the Locked On Lakers podcast brought to you by Built Bar. Head on over to BuiltBar.com, use promo code Locked On, and you get a $10 discount off your first order. I'm joined today by Pete Zayas.
Pete, today's stupid hypothetical question comes from the stuff that went on with Giannis Antetokounmpo's account. He was hacked yesterday. By the time you guys are listening to this yesterday, and I was wondering, like, who, if you had access, if you could hack any athlete's account, who would it be and what would you say?
Ooh, I would hack Magic's account and I would
give an opinion.
Yeah. I would tweet like differently. Right. Like, yeah. Just to do you, where people like, huh, like, is like, not be like silly obvious, right? Yeah, no. I'm not be like, oh, yes, I'm so. No, it's not like trying to make a good tweet necessarily, but just like, just tweak it slightly enough to where like people like, that's really unusual for Magic, you know? Like, I mean, that's Magic. He's one of my heroes. I'm not going to like try to embarrass him or anything, no. Right? But his Twitter account's so infamous in this like very specific way. Like nobody else tweets like Magic Johnson.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like that's something, right? Like he tweets differently than every other person. Just because, you know, he's who he is. Right. And just like somebody tweeted that he tweets as though he's the only person who owns a TV and he's telling everybody else about it, about like what's happening on the TV.
Yeah, that's good.
That's been the best description I've heard.
Yeah. I always thought he kind of
like it's really earnest. It's like, yeah.
I feel like he tweets like an elementary school book report that like the kid didn't read. So he's just like he's reading like the inside book cover to try to figure out like what actually happened there, and then like that's actually what he sends out into the world.
Yeah, he's like reading the plot summary on Wiki. Yeah.
Right. Let's see if I could do what. I don't even know. Like Giannis is a good one because he's so pure. Like even his apology was just so like, I'm so sorry. Like Giannis, you didn't do
it. Like, yo, somebody did this to Giannis. Like Giannis, really? Come on, man.
Yeah. I don't even know who I would, maybe like LeBron, and I would apologize for all the shenanigans with Taco Tuesday at this point. I'd be like, I'm sorry guys. I'm going to give that up. I apologize. So
you use it to stir shit, like you'd cause controversies.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that shouldn't surprise you at all. I mean, come on.
That's true.
Today's show, we are going to focus on a couple little tidbits of Lakers news, and I'm doing air quotes there. This was from a couple days ago that the Lakers are tentatively hoping to get back into the gym a week from today, by the time you guys are listening to this. And the other little tidbit here is that Vogel has the video coordinators reviewing a ton of tape and in order to learn ways that they might be able to improve. So we are going to put our heads together and figure out ways that, you know, things that they hopefully are noticing or might be noticing. Let's start, though, with the tentative plans to get back into the gym. Shams Charania was the first person I saw with the report of the specific day. And then, you know, that came on the heels of other teams getting into the gym today. You know, by the time you guys are listening to this, when you saw that specific date, though, that had to perk that had to get your attention, right? That's the kind of progress that the league can't resume without this kind of progress.
Yeah, it's certainly really exciting, man. Like this also puts aside the, you know, should this be done, right? Like that's above my pay grade. Mm-hmm. So forgive me for just focusing on the excitement of that and not the potential ramifications. But yeah, like I'm, you know, it ain't doing this for nothing, right? Like a buddy of mine said this over DM the other day, like they're not doing this for nothing. And they're certainly going to take steps now. You'll get into Vogel's comments, but like we're a ways away from basketball, right? Like this is just if this is a faucet, then this is like you open it just a bit and just like little bitty drops are dropping out. Right.
Right.
And if the whole thing's on, you know, that's playoff basketball, we're just getting itty bitty drops. So it's like, we're a long way away from having basketball back on the court.
So Shams' report was closely followed by somebody telling Ramona Shelburne apparently that this is as much, you know, as much as anything, this has to do with the mental health of the players, right? Because they have to be going effing insane, not mm-hmm. being able to play basketball. And, sure. you know, you and I have talked a bunch about how much of their identity is built up by the fact that they are really effing good at basketball. And if that aspect of your identity has been missing for as long as it's been missing, that is something that I'm sure is really hurting the players' abilities to get through this. So even I think all this can be true, though, right? Like it can be obviously progress, and it can be beneficial to players in ways that we might have not immediately thought of.
Right. Like another kind of twist to what you're saying, aside from just like their love of basketball, is I think more universal that people like you and I and people like the listeners are experiencing too, which is just how different is your day-to-day life? How different is your routine?
Yeah.
Amidst this, right? Like people, they're one of many people that aren't going to work, right? And
right.
now these are people, think of what their just day-to-day life is like. Like it sounds awesome, but it's also like, how often are you getting on a plane, right? You know, like traveling yeah. can be stressful. Like I know they've got luxury and all that, but mm-hmm. you know, you're traveling on a plane. And even if it's not stressful, it's just part of your life. It's very, very different than mm-hmm. sitting at home. Right? Mm-hmm. Like think of the difference between living an NBA lifestyle and sitting at home bored. Like it's right. like the opposite thing, right? So,
yeah.
so they're not going to be able to get to that point right away, right? But it's going to be this gradual step, like go to the facility and like say what's up to the couple other people there, right? Right? Like
yeah.
break bread with them, have, you know, keep everything safe and whatnot, but just like, and the Lakers are a family, right? And like, mm-hmm. so if we're going to win this title, it's going to be a combination of the talent, which is way, way more important, but the culture, right? And the culture that we have is really familial. It's focused on that.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to out-family every other team in the NBA mm-hmm. to win the title as we come back from this, right? So they have to do the things that go
that
into
make it
that.
Feel like that's, a family. Family.
Make it feel like a family again, right? Like mm-hmm. that great vibe we had feels like so long ago, but y'all remember it, right? Like you remember what it felt like to watch this season.
Yeah.
And how good it felt and how close they felt. Like it was genuine. And they need to, you know, hang out a little bit. If you gotta be, you know, across from half court to talk to each other, bullshit with each other for 20 minutes. Like you ain't gotta get, you know, 500 shots up today. Like
yeah.
eat your way back into it and do that. And those are the first steps.
Yeah. It was funny. You know, out here in Texas, they've obviously been lifting stuff a lot sooner than some of the other states, frankly, than I'm essentially comfortable with. But, you know, I told you guys about the bar/restaurant that's down the street from me. It's a small business or whatever. It had only been open 6 months and before this all struck. And the wait staff there and the managerial staff there had been really, really nice to Jen and me since we moved in here. And you know, I was driving around because I've been just stuck in the house dealing with a dog that has no idea how to handle apartment life and a baby who, you know, is a freaking baby. So I got out of the house and I was going to go check out the place where they're building our house to be. And I drove by that bar/restaurant, saw the lights were on. They had made the announcement that they were opening up on Cinco de Mayo earlier this week. And I just poked my head in and, you know, the main guy that the manager, there's guy's named Mo. He and I just caught up and just that human interaction that was not Jen, you know, that was not, Matt and Kristen, Jen's sister, and then you know my brother-in-law. Just that human interaction that is not the kind of thing that we've been kind of stuck with. God, I just said I've been stuck with my wife. Whew. Hopefully, she doesn't listen to this one. but that interaction with Mo was just, it was so revitalizing, right? It was so. It kind of recharged me a little bit and said, oh yeah, that's right. There was a time before all this, because when you're stuck in something like this, mm-hmm. it really feels like this is how it's always been and how it's always going to be.
And, you know, for the Lakers, for them to be able to see each other again and have it not be through Zoom, or, you know, the NBA players are obviously hugely competitive. So they're probably going to have shooting contests, you know, 500 feet apart from each other, where they're yelling at each other when they're taking each other's shots or whatever. And, you know, that just something like that is going to really revitalize and really recharge a bunch of guys who probably really frankly need it, given what the light at the end of this tunnel is competition at its highest level. And they need to, like, not only does the league need to, you know, gradually get ready for that, but the players, like you said, need to ease themselves into that readiness. And something like this is a huge first step in doing that.
Yeah, there's a level of cohesion too, right? Like, it's the individual work and the individual relationships that each guy's build. And then that builds into like this group thing of who's like the team that's going to win the championship this year. Of, you know, you have to be of a certain talent level. Mm-hmm. I think this kind of opens up the pool of like who could win maybe probably a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
Just because it's so weird. Like, you know, somebody's going to figure out a way to do it better.
It's going to be like an NFL season, right?
A little, maybe a little more like that,
16
right?
Yeah. games in, and then, you know, you crown right. a champion.
Now, if they're playing 7 games, the better team's still going to win almost every time. But yeah, this is just like, it's, I think there's more factors than that we just can't possibly predict of what's going to happen. But I do think that on just a fundamental level, the team that wins the title this year is going to be the team that's most together, like the most tight knit, right? And that's going to have more value than it normally would. And that's normally very important. But now there's so like you've got those 82 games for a reason, and training camp and preseason, it's all, and everybody is working toward, especially since most teams that are competing for a title have gone through the playoff grind before. With the Lakers, it made, we've missed the playoffs, but like our main guys, like Danny Green, LeBron, AD, you know, missed a year. He's going to take some time, but like most of our guys are veterans who have been on several playoff runs in their career. So they are pacing themselves, knowing what the ultimate goal is. And if it's a race, right, like they're not going to sprint on mile 4 of a marathon, right? Although they were kicking ass at mile 4.
Yeah, it was fun. Right? I enjoyed mile 4.
but they were still preparing for a marathon all along. They were running a marathon. Now they're running like the 800 meters. Mm-hmm. And it's a different race. So does that, it brings up about a lot of fascinating basketball questions. But I do think that with the Lakers, that's our identity. It's family. So you got to do those things that you know, point toward that first.
Yeah. Actually, I kind of want to pick up that conversation where you're at. I think that's an interesting question. You know, now that it is a bit more of a sprint, I actually think that kind of sort of suits the Lakers a little bit. So let's come back to that here in a second. Today's show is brought to you in part, and all of our shows this month are brought to you in part by Built Box. Head on over to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get $10 off your first order. Again, I can't. The thing that I really want to hammer home here is how good these bars taste. I personally have never really been a protein bar guy. Even back when I was trying to work out and stay in shape and stuff, it was never a thing that I was ever really into. My substitute for protein bars were mostly Reese's peanut butter cups. But you know, as I grew older and as my metabolism slowed, that wasn't really an option anymore. And now that I'm in charge of Avery and Callie all day, making full-blown meals for myself isn't really always an option all the time. So having a protein bar that tastes good and is filling and is actually still good for me has been very refreshing and a great option to be able to go to. Obviously, if you're trying to stay in shape, Built Bars are great for that. Or if you're trying to, you know, lose weight or stay at weight, the bars are all low calorie, they're all low sugar, they're all high protein, and they're all high fiber. They have 16 flavors, all of which are great. They have 8 that are flavors that have nuts in them, and then they have 8 that are nut-free. And again, they taste amazing. So again, go to builtbar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get $10 off your first order. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at builtbar.com. Let's get back to the show. Yeah, like we've had questions about, you know, one of the main questions about the Lakers so far this year has been about their depth, right? And one thing that helps, you know, mitigate against depth is if it is more of a sprint and you are just focused on the handful of games that are in front of you in a given setting, right? Like the Lakers were built more like a playoff team, I think, all along than they were built like a, you know, like a regular season team. Like the Dodgers over the last, you know, few years when they've been winning division titles, they were built like a regular season team. And then they got into the postseason where it's a completely different sport basically and really struggled because depth doesn't matter as much in the postseason. Right, and now that the Lakers have had, you know, this time to, you know, everybody's going to get back to the league about the same level of health, right? Everybody's going to be starting from just about the same kind of starting point here. And now it's a sprint to who can get themselves ready for the playoffs most quickly, and then who can win 16 playoff games faster than anybody else can. And, you know, I think that actually suits the Lakers. What do you think?
I think it could. I think it suits the Lakers in part because of our style of play. There's not a lot of moving parts to our offense, right? It's like, it's very star based.
Pretty rudimentary.
Yeah. It's like we space the floor correctly, and there's value in that. There are plenty of good teams that play that way, right? But the more complicated your offense is, the harder it's going to be to kind of get back to where you were. So I actually think Milwaukee's going to be okay because those guys have been together for a few years, and they're not particularly, like, it's not complicated. The Clippers should be fine for some of the reasons as the Lakers. They're not that complex, although maybe a little bit more than we are.
But they don't have very much cohesion at all, though. Like that, right. I think
and that's the other end of it.
Right. Yeah, the load management thing that they've been going through all season, I think that's actually really going to hurt them in this kind of a setting, because the Lakers were able to figure out some cohesion amongst each other with all the moving parts. Clippers never really did.
No, they were starting to play really well. This was something where, like, I'd watched a couple of their five or six last, previous games. Cause that's what I would, God, all this sounds so far away, man. Like just if I could take a moment, like you were talking about that conversation you had with the restaurant owner and just like oh shit, we used to do this, you know, and it's only been a couple months. Right.
But
there's just this like fog of war, right. Where everything there's a, and so I was just thinking like of myself on those nights where, you know, I'm working on something for LFR and I have a game on in the background, but like I'm paying attention to my work, right? But it's just what's on TV, you know, like and like that's sort of my job, right? And and they're the Lakers probably primary conference rival, right? So I'm gonna watch more Clipper games than anybody else. And it's easy because it's in market. So just you know, flip on DirecTV. And so I was just thinking of that. I was like, I barely remember that. This is gonna feel like a new season, dude.
It really will. It really will.
I'm curious, like, so to your point about the Clippers, they were starting to play really well, and they were about to go on a run. They were about to win, like, 13 out of 14 type game. I didn't see their schedule, but, like, that was like, oh, this is a team that's, like, they're going to be reckoned with the way that we thought they were going to after being kind of like, they were 4 seed or 3 seed or something like that. They were starting to play really well, and that got snapped off. And they weren't the most cohesive group. That's actually why I was feeling not just the win, but like they were the team, when I think about that idea of like the Lakers are going to out-family a team to win a series, that it was going to be the Clippers, right? Like that the Lakers would be more built to go through hard times and like stick together, where difficult times can fracture teams that aren't as close. And so like, can you put, which is funny because they pressed us, right? Like those first couple of games, they got into our heads and they rattled us. But I think we could do the same way, like put them under pressure. If we could put them under pressure, I could see them breaking collectively. Not Kawhi, because
we kind of sort of saw it, right? In that Lakers game, like when and really when like the chips get down with the Clippers, you start seeing them snap at each other. We saw those reports that were, you know, players are frustrated that Kawhi gets such special treatment, right? Like that's not a group that was necessarily all on the same page, and they kind of sort of have to hit a reset button here and however quickly they do or do not get back up to speed, I think is really going to decide their season. Mm-hmm. And you know, in a postseason where things are, because really what this is, what this did is it made the sample size way smaller, right? And mm-hmm. in a smaller sample size, any number of weird things can happen. And and you know, in such a sample, in such a different, because usually the NBA baseball is like this too, where the point of the direction that like the regular season goes in for baseball is they want to know definitively that the best teams are in that postseason. And then once you get there, it's such a smaller sample size that the postseason mm-hmm. becomes so, you know, a lot more random. Basketball, right. You know, you have an 82 game season to make sure that you get the best teams in there. But then also you have a longer playoff series or a playoff run so that mm-hmm. you continue to get like the, we know usually at the end of a season, the championship was the right team to have won that championship. And you know, here with it being more of a sprint, with it being a little smaller sample size, we actually might get fewer playoff games. There's going to be a lot more randomization to this stuff. And if you know, Team X isn't quite ready for it, they're probably going to be upset.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And there's no way of like knowing like what the hell has everyone been doing the last couple of months, right? Like
right. What
kind of access do they have to facilities? How is their mental health doing, right? Like, are they worried about their loved ones? Have they gone through shit that has to do with this, right? Like, how many of their family members or distant family members are hitting them up like, yo, I need a little bit of help financially, you know?
Yeah.
Like, this, the chain reaction of what we've gone through, we're not going to really understand fully until once it's over with. And look, man, if this is one of the, you know, harrowing experiences of this generation, I'm glad, you know, it's not a world war or something mm-hmm. like that. Most generations go through something like this, but there's still going to be like a lot of ramifications from it that NBA players are going to experience just as we are. I think that part of what will be helpful are the older guys. I think the guys that have more, you know, experience and wisdom. JaVale made a great point about like, he was really relishing the idea of staying home and clearing his mind. Right. Mm-hmm. And I hope things went well for him to that degree, but it's going to be just like how, for a lot of people, it's going to be how adaptable are you, right? Like, how quick are you able to be like, oh, it's this totally new life right now. Let me make the best of it. And who fucking knows who that is, you know?
Yeah. Well, I you know, I've kind of had to remind myself, you know, because I've been pretty vocal in how little I've wanted people to go back out into the public. How little, it's not that I don't care, but it's lower on my priority list in terms of, you know, hey, you know, we got to make sure that the economy's up and running. And I really had to remind myself that, you know, I'm in a pretty, you and I both are in a pretty unique situation where, you know, yes, this has affected our work because we literally don't have something to talk about, but we still have jobs and we are still taking an income, you know. And it, you know, because I have still been taking an income, because Jen has still been taking an income, it's been easier for us to really commit to social distancing and really commit to, hey, let's wait this thing out and really, you know, come back when it's actually really the most intelligent thing to do. And I've had to catch myself and say, there are literal millions of people who I can understand if they're saying, I need to get back to work. Where is my money coming from? And because of how poorly, you know, it's been handled economically, there are a lot of people who are saying, you know what, I have no choice but to risk this as soon as I possibly can. And, you know, something like, it's not the kind of thing that you hope you ever have to remind yourself to do, but showing empathy in this spot goes both ways. Right. The people I don't really have much empathy for are the people who are like, I need to get to a salon because I you know, my hair is too long, or
yeah, the people that are like
grown out, like, you
that's why I got a problem. Like, people who are, I need you to go back to work at your right. job where you touch a lot of people, because I don't have that type of job.
Yeah.
So I can work from home and telecommute. I say that as somebody who can telecommute. Like,
yeah,
this has impacted my day to day life less than way other, like most other people, right?
Yeah.
So I like, but that's exactly why I shouldn't be the type of person who's like, my hair freaking sucks right now. Like, I would love to get a haircut. Holy crap. I would love to get a haircut.
Yeah.
But like, no, like somebody's got to be cutting my hair, and then they're going to have to cut somebody else's hair after that.
Yeah.
And just like all of the exposure to people, let's not like, that said, people need to pay their bill. Oh, I'm about to get on my Comrade Pete soapbox. Let's back off this one.
But I do think though, a version of this conversation that we're having, like you need to get back to work, you know, with professional sports, right? The professional sports serve as one of our great distractions. And for a lot of people, when they say, God, you know, like professional athletes, Lakers, football players, baseball players, they might not be ready. Like that's a very real thing that these guys are facing. That like Carl Anthony Towns, do you think he's ever going to be comfortable going out in public?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be something that takes a very long time.
And so, you know, when we say, you know, hey, cause I think a lot of this has been approached by like, I think there's some overcorrection in terms of like, this isn't the right thing to do. The focus shouldn't be on professional sports. I don't think the focus has ever really been specifically on professional sports. I think it's more that the businesses are trying to get themselves back up off the ground. But then there's the other side of it where like, you know, people want athletes to go back and play so that they offer us a mm-hmm. distraction that we haven't had now for months. And those athletes might not be ready to be that distraction quite yet. You know, so there's so many things that we have to balance here. Right. And even when we get an update like, hey, this is a date that the Lakers have set aside to be able to get back into the gym, there's still a ton going on there. It's just, you know, from where you and I are sitting, it's progress that you and I are happy to see, so long as it's done safely and so long as the players are comfortable making it. Let's take so much to say. Well, hey, we can take a quick second and you can say it. That's the point of the show.
This isn't the show for it.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick second. When we come back, we want to get into specifically because Vogel said that he has his tape team going over stuff to see ways that the Lakers might be able to improve. So Pete and I, as you would imagine, have a few thoughts on that. All right, so Vogel has said a version of this a few times now, but he told Mike Trudell of Lakers.com, quote, Vogel had his assistant coaches prepping for possible playoff opponents last month and this month. It's on to various projects to study certain parts of the team system. Our guys, Drew Anthrop and John Pastorek, have done an incredible job of putting together very detailed edits of high volume for us to be able to study the things that were working for us, things we need to improve, and more importantly, to remind us as we watch these tapes, how good a team we had, Vogel explained. These Zoom meetings have been very exciting and encouraging. It's something that makes me want even more to have the opportunity to finish our season when it's safe and appropriate. I'm kind of interested to see like how they're going about this. And it's also kind of fascinating to me, the idea that they are watching and studying this tape in a siloed situation where they're more isolated from, you know, kind of the locker room dynamic. And you know, cause one thing that you and I have talked a lot about is, and look, I haven't talked about Rondo specifically in a really long time, so I'm going to.
Are you okay? Finally boiled over? Woo. I've been wondering.
You had to know this is where this is going.
I'm actually kind of proud of you it took this long.
But so one of the things you and I have talked about is the ways that, you know, Rondo, for lack of a better term, has been kind of scamming his way, the Lakers, and his way into playing time, right? By being a veteran presence, by saying the things that, you know, people like to hear, and by leveraging his relationships at the top of the roster into an outsized role. But when you are away from the stars and you're away from Rondo and all you have in front of you is the tape, I kind of feel like that's the kind of setting where they have to, the elephant in the room becomes impossible to ignore.
Yes. I think what that does, it's like, yes. And
yeah,
I think what that does is
the famous time, Darius, yes and no.
No, there's no here. Okay. There's just yes. And Yes, and this provides them an opportunity with the stuff that Drew and John Pastorek are working on to zoom in. One of the things that's really cool about basketball, and I'm sure this is true of any sport, but is you can like zoom out, but also zoom in, right? Like it can be as broad as talking about the Lakers versus the Celtics over the years, right? Uh-huh. That's like the galaxy view. And then there can be the zoomed in, you know, protons and neutrons and electron view of like, which angle should your index finger be on the basketball? Like, should it be here or should it be just like just a little couple millimeters?
Should you release to the side, it off your middle finger, your pointer finger, whatever?
Right. So there's all these like, you know, great little details to the game, but also you could talk about it very broadly. And so what this does is allows, this is really interesting. I hadn't thought of this before, but your question really leads into this, is that this plays into Vogel's strengths. Vogel's a tape guy. Vogel's a guy that like he...
How he got his start in the NBA.
He didn't get to the NBA because he was a former NBA player or because he, you know, was the son of a, you know, former player or has all of these friendly connections, right? He worked his way up from D3 up to where he is today. And you do that by being actually good at the substance of it, right? Sometimes that, you know, managing personalities, we talk about that a lot, right? But like actually understanding how the sport of basketball works, Frank Vogel's really, really, really good at that. But just the technical aspects of basketball. During a season, you don't have time. Even an NBA coaching staff with all of their resources that they have available don't have time to zoom in on every little thing that they wish that they could work on.
Yeah.
Like, JP, give us every time we've set a wide pin down screen this season, right?
Yeah.
And the way they sort it now, it's actually cool. At the South Bay games, when I'd go to the South Bay Laker games, their video coordinator would sit next to me and like log the plays. Mm-hmm. And so he'd have his laptop open and I'd be like, peeking over. It's like cool little system that they've got. I won't say anything more about it, but like it helps them.
It's one of those spots where you wish you had Harrison's neck, right? Because like it's a little bit longer.
Sure. And I'm sure with the NBA team, like, because you've got the synergy cameras in most in all NBA, so they have them working on something else, right? But just something like, every time we set a wide pin down screen this season, all right, well, how good has JaVale's screening angles been when he sends the wide pin down? That's like just the super specific thing that happens a good deal of time. And then let's say there's a flaw in how JaVale's been setting that screen. And it's because, you know, he's not top locking with his foot. He's not locking the defender's foot. And that you notice that that's the mistake that he's making more often, right? Mm-hmm. You send a little MP4 reel over to JaVale, you know, who's like Zen at home, just clearing in his mind. It's like, when you get a chance, JaVale, can you take a look at this? We've noticed your foot is, you know, like however they do it, right? They present it. But
they hold out, coach. Time, Nick Young almost killed me with his car.
Right, exactly. but if they have the opportunity to do stuff like that, like way more itty bitty little, you know, fine tuning details that they would never have during the course of a season, because there's just too much shit to do.
Yeah.
That this presents them an opportunity to do that. And that plays into Vogel's strengths because he's very detail oriented on that stuff, especially on defense. I'm looking forward to our defense.
Yeah. I'm, it's kind of obviously I would prefer we not have gone through all of this, right? I would have preferred that they didn't have the time to be able to kind of back up and really focus in on the minutia of the season and what's made them successful on certain plays or whatever, because that would mean that we would be in the middle of a playoff hunt right now, or the actual playoffs, and we would be enjoying that right now. But you know, if what comes out of this is kind of an optimized version of, or is something closer to an optimized version of all of these teams, where you know, everybody's healthier, so long as they're able to get back in shape. I think that's my number one question here is, will it be number one behind the obvious, you know, COVID questions. But my number one question here is going to be who's in shape and who can get back into shape, and not just, you know, regular season shape, because, you know, Vogel is saying that he would like for there to be some regular season games too, so that you can kind of tune up for the playoffs that are going to be coming, and you know who can get in themselves into a regular season shape and then eventually postseason shape. And you know, a lot of that
you know, you talking about the ability to redevelop that chemistry that you had over the course of the season, and then that conditioning. Those are probably going to be the two biggest factors, other than talent, right, that all of these teams are going to be facing. And I'm really looking forward to like what that looks like. This is completely uncharted territory, and you know how what that looks like is going to be really fascinating to me. Even while I would prefer that we don't see it, we never had to see it. It's really kind of interesting to me, the situation that everybody kind of finds them in. Is there anything that you know, that comes to mind that you're hoping that they notice a little bit?
You know, AD's passing from the post was something, you know, we'd be hammering on a lot. And that's, for me, it was really balance related with him. It was like oftentimes a footwork thing where he'd feel a little bit of pressure and he'd do something that was fundamentally like it was the incorrect fundamentals.
Yeah.
And, you know, guys with Anthony Davis's talent can get away with doing the wrong thing fundamentally.
Right.
A lot of times because they can overcome it with their just natural ability to jump higher than you or have much longer arms than you do.
Just right? bigger.
But what's better than a guy with incredible, you know, physical ability is a guy with incredible physical ability that's doing the right thing fundamentally, right? Like it's supposed to accentuate those skills. So like Anthony Davis could be a great passer. Think of the passing planes that he has as a guy with a 7'6" wingspan, right? You get that double team going, you square up or you reverse pivot, but you see the basket. That's what you want to do. That's a big thing. He doesn't square up to the basket when the double comes. You either need to escape dribble like back and he can do that too. And then jump over the top. And he does that. Okay. But he gets too, like he can dribble back and then jump up straight to throw that pass over the top, which he'd be great at because he's so big. His problem is that when he gets going backward, it's like a quarterback throwing off of their back foot.
Right? I was just going to make this analogy. Yeah.
So he keeps fading away. And so that makes passes inaccurate. They come up short. So just like technical footwork type stuff, like get Anthony Davis on balance in the post, both in his single coverage. And he was fine. He was fine, like as a scorer in single coverage situations, but handling those doubles and those soft doubles that come in today's game with the ability to zone up off of the ball, get him squared up to the basket and on balance, and then you've just got a much better post player from there. So if we can get one thing out of all of this, improve Anthony Davis's footwork in the post, and we are well on our way.
Yeah, I've always kind of, you know, you and I both played baseball, and one of the big focuses in baseball is your shoulder plane, right? You want your shoulders to, when you're throwing a baseball, you want your shoulders to be as parallel to the ground as possible, right? Because if it's too far down, you're going to throw the ball into the dirt. If your front shoulder is too far up, you're going to sail the ball or whatever. And you watch Davis make passes and his shoulders, especially if he has any kind of a turn in his shoulders are all over the place. And what that does is he tries now to correct with the talent that he has in his hand, eye coordination in his arms or whatever, but that's something that he shouldn't necessarily have to do. And what that leads to is, you know, when a team double teams somebody in the post, that's them saying, all right, we are going to give you an advantage elsewhere on the court just because we know that you already have an advantage on this spot on the floor.
That's right.
And because of Davis's inconsistencies in his fundamentals, throwing the ball out of the post like that, the Lakers aren't able to take advantage of them giving you that advantage, right? It either turns into a pass that is too far, you know, too errant to be able to do anything with, or too conservative to be able to do anything with. So like you don't get to make like the pass that leads to the assist. It's usually just, hey, here's the guy I can get the ball easiest to. And it doesn't really gain us anything in that pass.
I guarantee you teams are going to try to attack that in the playoffs when they're just preparing for us. That's got to be a lot of teams' plan A, right? Because it's something that's been done in high volume. That he's shown that he's okay, but you make him not Anthony Davis anymore,
right?
And that gravity of what you're talking about, not able to capitalize it on to the level where it would make you stop doing that, right? So it really neutralizes him at least to some degree, to where that's got to be plan A for other teams when they're looking at tape against us. So yeah, man, if he can capitalize on that, that'd be huge.
Yep, absolutely.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode and this week's episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Again, this all this month brought to you by Built Bar. Head on over to builtbar.com.
Ooh, I had one today. They're pretty good. Sorry to interrupt. I had one today. Yeah, they sent us a box, right? And so, they sent us a box, and sometimes sponsors send us shit, and I'm just like, all right, man, it's cool. Yeah. And it's still in a box 6 months later. Sorry, sponsors. But I was like, I'm going to try one of these. And I was like, hey, that's not too bad. So that's my endorsement. Good job, Built Bar.
Yeah. All right. So head over to builtbar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON. You get $10 off your first order. Have a great rest of your weekend. Stay safe out there. Get your questions in, and we will talk to you on Monday.